There you go.
Thank you, Monica. Welcome everyone to this Licence in General Subcommittee, and we will proceed with the agenda. It is on a Zoom virtual meeting, of course, because of the COVID problems and pandemic. So first start with any apologies. Do we have any apologies?
There are no apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have any declarations of interest? No. Appointment of chairman. Can I have a proposer for the appointment of chairman, please? That seems to have lost power, though. Yes. Could I have a proposer for the appointment of chairman, please, from one of the councillors? Councillor Chris Sylvester. Can I hear you, Chris?
Can I propose Councillor Simon Gaskin as chairman?
And I have a seconder there of Councillor Helen Hall. All those in favour? To vote myself. And none against. So that's Councillor Simon Gaskin as chairman. Item four, do we have any urgent business to be brought before the meeting?
No, there's no urgent business this morning, Chair.
Item five, the application for a premises licence from the National Forest Adventure Farm, Poston Road, Tate Mill. I must first welcome the applicant, Mr. Robinson. And I will start by introducing the committee and those officers who are with us. We have with us Councillor Chris Sylvester, Councillor Helen Hall, and Councillor Simon Gaskin, myself, Chairman, Angela Wakefield, the Council Solicitor, Monica Henchcliffe, the Committee Clerk, Helen Farmer McKenna, the Licensing Manager, and Michael McCarty from the Environmental Health. Thank you. Now, next thing, has everybody received a copy of the procedure and agenda? I'll take that as a yes. Now, the hearing is to consider this new application for a premises licence from the National Forest Adventure Farm. So I will now ask the applicant to outline his case, please.
Excuse me, Chair, do you want to hear from the licensing officer in the first?
Oh, have I missed one of her? Outline applicants. Yes, please, sorry. I've jumped ahead of myself. Yes, so would the officer please give the outline of the case? Thank you.
No problems. Thank you, Chair. On the 1st of July 2020, the licensing office received an online application from Ivor Robinson on behalf of the applicant, Poston Leisure Limited, for a new premises licence at the National Forest Adventure Farm, Poston Road, Tayton Hill, Burton-on-Trent, DE139SJ. A copy of the application is attached to Appendix 05A. The application is to permit the supply of alcohol both on and off the premises on a Monday to Sunday, 10 a.m. until 23:30 hours, with opening hours of Monday to Sunday, 10 a.m. till midnight. They have also applied for live music, recorded music, anything of a similar description to that falling within live music, recorded music, and performances of dance, all indoors and outdoors, on a Monday and Sunday between 10 a.m. and 23:45 hours. Since 2012, the premises has applied for temporary event notices, with the majority being in October and the beginning of November for Screamfest over the past 3 years. I can confirm that the licensing department has received no complaints regarding these events. Should the application be granted, conditions have been agreed between the applicant and Staffordshire Police Licensing Department, which are attached to Appendix 05C, and also Environmental Health at East Staffordshire Borough Council with a noise management plan, which is attached to Appendix 05D. The Planning Department have made comments regarding this application, which are attached to Appendix 05E. Staffordshire Fire have made comments regarding this application and are attached to Appendix 05F. The application has received a relevant representation from another person, namely B. Heavens, and this objection is attached to the report at Appendix 05G. I have since received a further letter from the objector, B. Heavens, on the 1st of August 2020, of which I will read their reply out. Thank you for your letter dated the 29th of July regarding the application for a new premise licence for the National Forest. I apologise for my slow response, but due to COVID precautions, I delay opening my post for several days. From your letter, I understand I am the sole objector, but still wish the Council's Licensing Subcommittee to take my written objection into account when considering the application. Whether one or one of many is irrelevant, and I wish my objection to stand. I admit I find it difficult to believe mine was the only objection, although the condition of the blue notice displayed outside the National Forest Adventure Farm, which I understand was faded and partially illegible, may have been a contribution factor. No doubt the Licensing Subcommittee have an intimate knowledge of the National Forest Adventure Farm and its surroundings and will make an informed decision drawn from similar experience. Finally, I would like to say that when I first posted my objection, I never expected a wealth of correspondence and feel what should have been a simple matter has rather got out of hand. I trust we can now draw a line under this. All parties have been invited to attend the virtual hearing today, albeit the main applicant, Ivor Robinson, one of the directors, is on holiday today, and therefore another director, Tom Robinson, is attending in his absence. I've also invited Michael McCardy, Environmental Health Technical Officer from East Staffordshire Borough Council, to address any questions you may have from his side. The Licensing Subcommittee are requested to determine the application accordingly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I now ask, do any of the committee have any questions for the officer? I'll just ask Helen, who else has let know? There was the blue notice put up. Was there anything in the mail? Or
Yes, I can confirm the blue notice was in situ, and I can confirm that the newspaper advert was in the Burton Mail as requested, so everything was followed in the guidelines, and they did actually put more than one blue notice up with it being rather a large site.
Thank you very much. Just wanted to make that clear. Thank you for that. We'll now ask, the applicant if he would present his case.
Thank you Chair, and thank you committee. I've split this into two halves as per the recommendation in the letter. Firstly, responding back to the objector, Mr. Heavens, he makes three points of the way I see it in his letter. The first is that he is objecting to live and recorded music, particularly outdoors. The second, he's obviously mentioned our largest event, Screamfest, although he does actually concede that it is within the bounds of acceptable limits, I think he actually says. And then the third, he's obviously concerned that the license is from 10 a.m. until midnight, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. So if I could just take each one of those points. The first point is obviously live and recorded music. As outlined by Helen, we have got a good track record. We have dealt with the EHO in the past over various issues on site, but we have not received any complaints over noise. The TENS licences, we've stuck within the guidelines of the TENS licences that we've had in the past, and as Helen said, received no complaints. The condition to produce a noise impact assessment has obviously in Appendix 5D that the Environmental Health Department of the SBC, we have agreed to that and will obviously work along with any EHO on any event coming forward. Should we need to sort of amend it or adjust it, we'll be responsive obviously to any complaints that we get, if we get any. I'm hoping we don't. If I go on to Screamfest, which is our biggest event, Screamfest is actually, I don't know if anybody's familiar with it, but it's a Halloween event, a nighttime event. The steps we normally take with Screamfest, first and foremost, it's a professionally designed attraction. We have a designer in, so we consider all aspects, including security on the site and also potential nuisance. When we're actually designing the event. If I pick up on security, it's at the actual very core of our event. We have a professional company in to manage our security. Event notification is sent to the police with an incident number. And again, receive no complaints from residents for that. We do take the staff and public welfare on the site for this event. It's part of the planning process. And again, we have a very good track record. When it comes to the specific issue of noise, we'd normally attack this on three fronts. We mitigate nuisance as much as possible through the design, as I mentioned, the professionally designed mazes within the attraction. We control noise through sound checks and volume checks. And we always finish on time within the bounds of the temporary event notices that we've had. So that's how we actually control the noise. And I would just at this point like to say that Mr. Heavens's objection about it being 10 till midnight, 7 days a week, that is not the intention of the business at all. And in no way, shape or form will that be the case. The reason we've applied for it so open-ended is because we are looking at events being more, well, making this business more sustainable going forward. And I'll come on to the next part of it now. So having dealt with Mr. Heavens's objection, I'll just basically say what I think that the license will bring to us. Lockdown has forced us to relook at this business. We have for quite a long time. Yeah, there's times of year when we're quite successful here, but there's other times of year when we're not, and we're losing quite a lot of money at the business. So for the long-term sustainability of the business, we do actually need to change it. The license will be an important part of this, because there'll be quite large chunks of the year when we're actually closing down to the public, because there just are not the numbers of people coming to actually make it sustainable. However, we have seen that as an opportunity to expand what we're actually quite good at, which is events. So we're looking at the premises for possibly indoor events, such as dinners / corporate. Outdoor events, from themed events like Screamfest, and that will, I think, always continue to be our biggest event. Possibly more minor seasonal events, and then finally a venue maybe for private hire. What the changes will mean is that it will secure the long-term business viability on the site. Over the long haul, it will create more jobs, especially for the 16 to 24 year old cohort, which is, we employ a lot of people in this cohort anyway on temporary contracts when we're busy. Hopefully if we become busier when we've been traditionally quiet, that will increase the employment opportunity. It will, of course, allow Post and Leisure as a business then, if the business becomes secure, allow them to reinvest back into the business, which obviously in terms of jobs and reinvestment will be good for the local economy. So Councillor Gaskin and the rest of the licensing committee, I've set out my objectives now, I've set out my reasons for applying for the the premises licence. I'm quite happy to take any questions going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the licensing committee have any questions for our applicant? Well, I just have a couple. How many people are you looking at having at your indoor events when these take place, should the licence be granted?
Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. We have a restaurant with a seating capacity at the moment for, it's roughly about 120 covers. So the sort of events we'd be talking, I'm guessing, would be probably maybe a corporate event, for example. Say if there's a local company is looking to hire a room for the night with catering facilities and serving alcohol, maybe for either a business dinner or something along those lines. So that's the sort of capacity that we'd be looking at there.
About 100-120, that sort of thing. And what about your outdoor events? How many would you be anticipating looking for dealing with at those?
Going up, we all obviously always do the calculations when we're actually planning the event. So Screamfest, we limit ticket numbers to 2,200 people. On the sellout nights, we get that number of people come. And we sort of manage it by timed slots and timed entries. Obviously, security on site, that's the sort of number that we've been looking at getting through. So, I'm unless things change and we come up with anything else in the future, I'd say that'd be sort of our limit at the minute.
Thank you. How many times a year do you think you'll be doing outside events?
We do outdoor events quite a lot throughout the year in any case as part of the existing license, but I'd call low-key events without any licensing requirements. So for example, at Easter we sort of take people up to the local woods and we have a trail through the woodlands for children to sort of go and find the Easter Bunny. We do a Christmas event on site. That's playing music actually within the buildings itself, but part of it is outdoors. In all honesty with you, we've done charity events before. We normally do a charity event during the summer. So last year we had we were supporting the guide dogs for the blind. So we did a bring your dog along night to the maze, and we did a dog agility show. We had live music on that night. Again, nobody objected to that. That was covered under a TENS notice, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I can't be specific at that because at the minute we're still trying to work forward with a new model. Yeah, that's all I can say at the moment. I haven't got a plan.
I understand. Councillor Sylvester.
Hi there, Mr. Robinson. Just a quick question. A lot of your activities are going to involve the children as well, the outdoor activities, aren't they, like Screamfest? How do you control the fact that you're selling alcohol, etc., when there's children there? I mean, I know you've handled it before. If you could just outline for me what you do.
Yeah. Thank you. We will, should we get the license, we will control it in exactly the same way that we have done when we've had TENS licenses. There's the Challenge 25 scheme in operation, and we will be obviously using that as probably the number one control measure. During events where you've got mixed bags, where you've got people under the age of 18 and obviously over the age of 18, like Screamfest, we employ security, a private security company on the door to challenge that and to help with that. And moving forward, that's exactly how we will control it in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any more questions for the applicant? Now, I seem to have left out, once again, our licensing officer to see if she has any questions for our applicant.
No, I've got nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. In summing up, Mr. Robinson, would you like to make any final statement to sum up your case?
Just effectively to sort of reiterate how I finished off my submission before, that these changes, effectively it's just an extension of what we've already done in terms of applying for temporary event notices, although what it will mean is that we've actually got the security of a premises license all year round. We will obviously take our responsibilities under a license, should we be awarded one. We'll take them obviously very seriously, as we have done before with the temporary event notices. I honestly see this license as helping secure the long-term viability of this business. And you know, hopefully, especially during the current time where the event sector is on its knees, as is the hospitality sector, and the whole of the events and entertainment sector is on its knees and has been on its knees. I think that the license will really help us adapt to the post-COVID world going forward and give us the flexibility to be able to sort of put on events and to host private hire events for local people and businesses. So to sum it up, I think it's going to be an important step for us as a business to be able to continue with employing local people and to be part of the local economy.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Robinson. Do you feel that you've had the opportunity to say all that you want to say this morning?
I do, Chairman, I do. Thank you very much.
Right, I must now inform you that you will be sent an email with the subcommittee's decision, which you will get as soon as that has been written out and we've made our decision for you. So I now invite all those who are not making a decision to leave the meeting and we will make our deliberations.